It's good to see you. We're glad that you come to fellowship and worship with us. We know it's a holiday weekend. We know that several are gone, but we're glad that you're here as we continue on talking about and preaching from this sermon series about overcoming. And we've talked about overcoming a lot of difficult things. We've talked about overcoming shame and guilt and fear and anxiety. And today we'll talk about overcoming depression. And next Sunday we'll close out this collection of messages talking about overcoming addiction. So I hope that you are prepared. I hope that you're ready. And I hope that you have been praying about this series of messages. Starting in about the second week of September, we're going to be beginning a new journey through September and October through an evangelistic emphasis called Who's Your One? And you may have seen some of the local churches in our community that have been supporting this initiative to dedicate ourselves to pray for somebody, not just one person, but if you feel led to pray for several people that you know that are lost and pray for their salvation. And so I hope that you will be preparing your hearts and your minds for that in the next few weeks to come. But this morning, let us continue on as we talk about overcoming depression. Psalms chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Psalms chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. And I'd ask if you would please stand with me as we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, it'll be provided for you on the screen. Psalms chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. The psalmist said it this way. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those things who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessing of today. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful sunshine. Lord, we thank you for the fair weather. And Lord, I just ask that this morning as you come and you've gathered us together in this place, that for a moment in time you teach us here from your Word. Lord, how that you provide and secure us up out of that miry pit. Lord, how that you can take us and change our circumstances and change our situations in such a way that, Lord, you can put a new song and a new hope in our hearts. Lord, Father, I pray that if there's somebody here today, Lord, who struggles with overcoming depression, Lord, Father God, I pray that this message would speak boldly and loudly to their hearts. Lord, I know this is something that speaks loudly to mine, Lord, and it's been something that this week I have thought much about as I prepared to come and share what you've given me to share. Lord, I know this is something that is a struggle for the hearts of many. And Lord, Father, I just pray that you are touching hearts this morning and that your Spirit is preparing to move. Lord, Father, I would ask that most of all, if there's somebody here who has never known you in the free pardon of sin, Lord, somebody who has never accepted you, then Lord, I pray that their journey to overcoming and being an overcomer and to be victorious, Lord, begins in their relationship with you. Lord, Father, I pray that if there are others here who are struggling this morning for many other reasons, and Lord, Father, I pray that your Spirit speak to their hearts as well. Lord, I pray that they see that they can trust in you this morning. Lord, I would ask that you but use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool and nothing more for your honor and for your glory. Lord, I'd ask that you but preach me as a dying man to a lost and a dying world. Father, Lord, it's all this we ask in your holy and precious name. Amen. You know, I could ask the question, who amongst you has ever been depressed? And I don't think that there's anybody in here who could be honest and say, I have never felt depressed in my life. I've never had a moment in my life where I felt down, where I felt out, where I felt alone. And I can tell you from personal experience, and you've heard me share this before, depression is something that I have struggled with. I've not struggled as deeply as others have, but it has been a struggle for me for most of my adult life. And I know you might look at me and say, how can a man that looks as good as that possibly struggle with depression? That's all right. You can laugh. It was supposed to be a joke, you know. Yeah. Amen, right? Yeah. You know, how could somebody like you struggle with depression? But I tell you that it is true, I do. And I think that's one of the things about depression that is important for us to understand. You know, if you don't suffer deeply from depression or you've never been truly in the throes of depression, it might be difficult for you to understand that somebody who looks happy, somebody who looks like things are going well, can be suffering deeply in their hearts. Another thing that I guess over the years that has concerned me, and I've even heard pastors say this from the pulpit, is that it's just wrong for Christians to be depressed, that it's against the very nature of a Christian to suffer from something like depression. Now, I'm going to grant it that part of that is true. Part of that is true in and of the fact that God does not want us to be depressed. I really believe that. God never wants us to feel alone. God never wants us to feel as if the world is against us. God never wants us to feel as if we cannot get up and go and overcome. I believe that with all of my heart. But for people to say that Christians could never or should never become depressed is not a reality. There's going to be moments and seasons in our life where that's going to happen to us. We're going to feel alone. We should never believe in our hearts that God has left us alone, but there's seasons where we do feel that way. And throughout the Word of God, we see time and time again where many of the great men and women of God felt depressed. They felt as if they were alone. You know, here the psalmist David provides a beautiful set of verses here where he talks about how the Lord brought him up out of this miry pit and set him on a solid foundation. And he talks about how that the Lord has multiplied the wondrous deeds and thoughts toward them. But how many other times throughout the Scripture do we read the words of this very same man and they're the total opposite? Where David expresses, my God, why do I feel so alone? You know, David would express, why do I feel as if my enemies are going to surround me and overcome me? There were moments and seasons in the life of David where he just didn't think he was going to be able to make it, where he felt alone, where he didn't have the motivation to be the man of God that he knew that God wanted him to be. There are other moments. We think about Moses. You know, a lot of times we think about Moses being this great leader of the Israelites and leading the Hebrew people out of bondage in Egypt and over the Red Sea and through 40 years in the wilderness. But what we oftentimes miss is in the book of Numbers and through other scripture, we see Moses referencing the fact that he was deeply depressed at moments in his life. Sometimes depressed about the things that had happened with God's people. Sometimes depressed about the way that God's will had unfolded. But the truth of the matter was, is that in moments and seasons of his life, he became depressed. Probably one of the greatest instances in the Old Testament of depression amongst one of the prophets was Elijah. Anybody know the prayer of Elijah? You remember what he prayed for? Prayed that God would take his life. That was his prayer. He became so depressed that his prayer to God was, God, take my life. If you could imagine what that's like, or maybe you have been there, it helps us to see and understand that, yes, some of the great men and women of God have gone through those moments and those seasons where they felt alone, where they felt hopeless, where they felt like there was no possible way that they could overcome. Yes, depression like anxiety, fear, shame, guilt, all of these things we talked about, they're natural human responses at moments in time, and they are going to happen. But we need to understand, like all of these weeks prior when we've talked about those topics, depression has an ability to become a stronghold in our life. A stronghold to the point that it keeps us from being the men and women of God that He wants us to be. Here's the first thing I want you to see about overcoming depression. Write this down. Take a note of it. I hope that you've been doing that every week. If you don't suffer from depression, if you've never struggled with it, I guarantee you know somebody that does. So maybe you could write this down and share with somebody who so deeply needs to hear this message. The first thing I want you to know about being an overcomer of depression is this, is that God has the power to lift you up. Amen? You know, you don't have the power. I want you to know that. And as soon as you know that, understand that, and realize that, I believe you'll be in a much better position to allow God to come in and take control of your life in such a way that He can help lead you out of the pit that you're in. You know, a lot of times in life, we get this mindset of, I can fix my problems. We get this mindset of, I can make things better. And I've heard people say it over the years in ministry. You know, people tell me, when I get my life in order, then I'm going to come to have a relationship with God. You know, when I get my household fixed, when I reach retirement age, when I get all of this debt settled, and the list goes on and on and on of all of these things that people have told me that they need to do before they can really have a relationship with God. And the truth of the matter is this, is there is nothing that you can possibly do to make your life any better. I'm a believer in that. I believe that if you really want to make your life better, if you really want to succeed in this life, in this world, you've got to make the decision that you are going to allow God, who has the power, who has the ability, to lift you up and to be your number one. You remember how last week we talked about the fact that God, I gave you a quote last week, how that if you offer God second place, you offer Him no place. You remember that? I hope that you remember that quote. I hope that that's something that sticks in your mind, because there's a lot of truth to that. If you're not allowing God to be the number one, if you're not allowing God to be the decision maker, if you're not allowing God to be the direction, if you're not allowing God to be that Spirit that guides you and leads you and talks to you and counsels you, then you're doing it wrong. I don't know any other way to say it than that. You're doing it wrong. You've got to make the decision. If you want to overcome fear, guilt, shame, anxiety, depression, you've got to make this decision that we serve a God who has the power and the ability to lift us up out of that. David said, "My God lifted me up out of a miry pit." God has the ability to do that. You think about the lowest of the low that you've ever been in your life, or maybe you're here right now and you are in the lowest of the low that you've ever been. You probably feel like you are alone. You probably feel like that there is nobody who can help you out of this situation. You probably feel like that you're hopeless, that your case can never be fixed. But I tell you this, we serve a God who has the ability to lift you up and to put you on a solid foundation. Amen? But you've got to make that conscious decision right here, right now, that you're going to allow God to be the power, that you're going to allow God to be the source. The second thing that we need to know and understand about being an overcomer, especially of something like depression, is that we have to own it. You know, I get so frustrated at times with people in church because it's like they don't want to talk about the problem. We want to skirt around it. We want to talk about it, you know, like it's this dirty little secret, especially with mental health. You know, when we talk about things like depression and anxiety, suicidal ideations, we think and talk about those as if it's just a very dirty and a very wrong thing. I want you to know this about depression. Depression is not uncommon. We like to talk about it like it's a very uncommon thing. We like to talk about it like that's something that person has, or that this person has, or that it doesn't affect my family, but it does theirs. And the truth and the reality is as a church family, depression is going to be a very common thing amongst people. And if you ever want to get to the point of being an overcomer, you've got to make the decision in your life that you're going to own it. You're going to have to come to a point in your life and say, you know what, I struggle with this. You're going to have to come to a point in your life where you say, I'm dealing with this in a way that's unhealthy, in denial. Anybody ever go through denial? Yeah. And we'll talk about it next week when we talk about addiction. We could have talked about it more when we talked about anxiety and fear and guilt and shame and all of those things. We've put ourselves in positions of denial, and as Christians, it seems like we want to deny more than anybody else that we're going through the struggles that we go through. Depression is a very common thing. You know, one study has shown that as little as 10% of the population of this country suffers clinically from depression. Other studies show that as much as 35 to 40% of the population does. I promise you that here in this church today, that means that there's at least a small handful of us who suffer greatly with depression. Maybe not everybody, but some of us. But the truth in being an overcomer is we have to make the decision that we'll own it. That we will no longer be in denial and we will say, you know what, I struggle with this. Sometimes we get it into our mind that what we are going through is something that nobody else could possibly understand. I think about Paul in his writings to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I want you to think about this. Now, you can interchange the word temptation with testing. If you look up the old Greek word for temptation and you look at the definition of it, you could easily put in there to test. He says, no temptation or test has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted or tested beyond your ability, but with the temptation He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. I don't think we correlate this idea sometimes that things like anxiety, fear, guilt, shame, and depression are moments and seasons of testing or temptation in our life. The truth and the reality is these seasons of depression that you go through, absolutely, they are a testing of spiritual faith. Absolutely, undoubtedly, there are going to be seasons and moments where you go through that, where you are being tested greatly. And I'm not saying that God is putting on you something that you can't bear. I'm not saying that God is putting on something for you to be miserable. I'm a firm believer that Satan has a lot of advantages and a lot of tools and a lot of abilities to make us feel depressed and to make us feel anxious and to make us feel shame and to make us feel guilt and to make us fear a lot of different things. Satan has that ability. So we go through seasons and testings and temptations. But notice this, the Scripture says that He will provide a way of escape. What? That we might be able to endure it. A lot of times we want to think, what I'm going through nobody else knows about. And Paul says the testing and the temptation, the thing that you're going through, is not uncommon to man. What you're going through is something that your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ have experienced and will experience in the future. You know what one of the great things about that is? Is we want to be so seclusive about not owning up and being in denial about the struggles that we go through, when in reality, if we would just own it, we could talk with others who have been through the struggles that we are going through, and we could hear the stories of how they have overcame. We could hear the stories about how that God has blessed them. We could hear the examples that they could provide about how that the Lord led them to a study. The Lord led them to a group, to a therapist, to a doctor, to somebody, to something in some way that helped them to be an overcomer. One of the greatest things that we have in our struggle is the ability to share our struggles. Amen? That's what we're here for. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are here so that we can share our struggles one with another. Don't think that your season of depression is something that nobody else has ever been through. I promise you they have. I promise you that I have. And I promise you in that season and in that moment, what you're going through is not uncommon. And if you would be willing to own up to the issue, own up to the struggle that you are facing, that you would be able to speak and to talk with others. Others who have overcome, others who could give you some support, and maybe in due time your testimony would give somebody else some great support. Know that depression is not uncommon. Know that what you struggle with is not uncommon. And know that your testing and your season of testing is not always a result of sinful actions and sinful deeds. You know, in an Old Testament mentality, people would look at somebody who struggles from something like depression, and the Old Testament mentality would be to question who has sinned, you know, this person or their family. What has happened? What have they done that has resulted in this? Now, we know the truth and the reality is that, yes, there's going to be moments and seasons in our life where we do things that we know we should not do, where we're going to sin against God, and as a result of that, we're going to have consequences, and sometimes those consequences can make us very depressed individuals. But just because you go through a moment in the season of despair and depression, it does not always mean that it is because of your sinful actions and your sinful deeds. We go through those seasons of testing. We go through those seasons of temptation because God has the intentions of making us stronger. Amen? God has the intentions of making us greater servants of His. If we're going to be overcomers, not only do we need to understand that God has the power to lift us up, not only do we need to own our struggles, but I believe that we need to claim a victory over the very spirit of depression. It's hard to claim a victory if you'll never own up to the problem to begin with. You see how that you can't go any further in this process until you make the decision to own your struggle. But if you'll own up your struggle, the very next thing that you can begin to do is claim a victory over the struggles that you are enduring. I think about John chapter 16 where Christ spoke about the power of His name. John chapter 16 verses 23 and 4, He says it this way. He says, "In that day you will ask nothing of Me." He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatsoever you ask of the Father in My name, He will give to you. Until now you have asked nothing in My name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Now, I believe if we struggle from things like anxiety and depression, from fear, from guilt, from shame, any of those things, I believe that if we claim a victory over those things in the very name of Christ, the victory will be ours. Why? Because the name of Jesus has power. Maybe that's a little old school. You know, I grew up Appalachian where we went to churches where when people said things in the name of Jesus, it really meant something. Amen? Amen? Anybody ever have your grandmother tell you something and then she says in the name of Jesus after it? If you haven't, you're not Appalachian, all right? I'm telling you. My grandmother used to say that. You know, you'd get on my grandmother's nerves or do something that I knew that I shouldn't do, she'd rebuke me in Jesus' name. She really meant it. She was powerful about it. Why? Because she believed that the name of Jesus could do things. The problem in society and in the world today is we don't really believe that the name of Jesus has power anymore. I mean, how else could we explain it? We won't call on His name. We won't ask of anything in His name. We won't hardly pray of anything in His name. When we struggle through something, we don't ask of relief or victory in His name very much anymore. I mean, my goodness, as Christians, we'll hardly even pray for the lost in His name. I mean, we go through difficult seasons and struggles in our life and never once call on the name of the Lord. And the Lord says, "Here it is, until now you've asked nothing in My name." So I ask you this, at what point is it in your life that you have to finally get so low that you'll call out unto the name of the Lord and truly believe that He can finally do something in your life? I'm telling you, you're missing out. Church, we are missing out. You as an individual, you are missing out when you fail to claim victories in the name of Jesus. Why? Because His name has power. Why? Because He's the Son of God. Why? Because He's always been in the very beginning. In John chapter 1 it says, "In the very beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God." I mean, from the very existence of time, God and His Son Christ Jesus have always been. And in verse 14 of the same chapter, it says, "And the Word was manifest into the flesh, and He came to do great things." And great things He did. He came and He gave His life for a lost and a dying world, that whosoever believed in Him might be saved. You see, the very name of Jesus, the very blood of Jesus, had the ability to cleanse all of the world of its sin and its unrighteousness. Maybe you're not struggling with depression today. Maybe you're struggling with other issues at home or at work or in other places in your life. Whatever it is that you are struggling with, I tell you this, claim a victory over that spirit in the name of Jesus. And great things can and will happen. I'm not just preaching this like it's some cliche. I'm not just preaching it like some crazy person. Just to be honest. When you start telling people, if you claim a victory in Jesus' name, that God will do something, people look at you like you're crazy. Amen? Amen? Amen. You go somewheres in public and you talk to somebody struggling and you tell them, you know what, if you claim a victory in Jesus' name, good things will happen in your life. People will think that there's something wrong with you. That's society today. Claim your victory in Jesus' name and God will do great and mighty things in your life. Know that God has the power to lift you up. Own your struggles. Claim a victory over that very spirit of depression or whatever it is that you struggle with. And then, if you want to be an overcomer, invoke a positive spirit. You know, it's real easy in one moment to really cry out to God and say, Lord, I give this to You. And then what do? Almost instantaneously after that, we want to take back control of the issue, or we become very negative in our thinking. There are a lot of us that struggle with negative thinking. It's like everything that we think about, we never see the positive aspect within it. You know, we never see the positive in the struggle. We never see the positive in the things that we endure. We only ever look to and see the negative in things. And when we look at people, when we talk about church, when we talk about society, when we talk about anything, it seems like the very first thing that we talk about is the negative. Right? We talk about kids today. What do we say? What? Somebody almost said it. We talk about kids today. What do we say? We talk about how bad they are, right? That's the truth and reality. We talk about how bad they are and how that we didn't act like that when we were kids. And every generation does that. You know how long they've been saying that? Since the days of the very first kids on this earth. Amen? That's how long they've been saying that stuff. When we talk about kids, we talk about school, we talk about society, we talk about our nation, we talk about all these things, we always immediately look to the very negative aspect of things. I believe that life really would be better if we thought more positively, if we spoke more positively. If you want to overcome the spirit of depression, anxiety, fear, guilt, shame, whatever struggle you're going through, you've got to invoke a positive spirit about you. Psalms 118, verse 24, the psalmist says this. He says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Be glad in it." There's probably no easier way to start off a day with positive thinking than to think about this verse. When you wake up, if you can just remind yourself, number one, this is the Lord's day. If you could just think about how blessed you are that you have one more day, that you got to see one more sunrise, that you got to have one more day with your family, with your friends, with the people that you love, that you got to have one more day on this earth. If you just thought about it from the aspect of that, you could have some positive thinking. This is the day that the Lord has made. The very next thing that we should do in our minds, in setting our minds and our heart, is rejoice. Be glad. There's going to be a day where you're not going to get another day. You ever think about that? I mean, it's not something I think we should dwell on, because that would probably make us depressed if we really thought about it a lot. But I'm telling you the truth. One day, you're not going to get any more days. There's not going to be any more sunrises. There's not going to be any more sunsets. There's not going to be any more time with family and friends here on this side of glory. One day you'll burn up your last day and that'll be it. And God will call you home. Rejoice in the days that the Lord gives you. Rejoice in it and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. If you look up that translation of that word glad, it means to be glad with a sense of peace. Just have a peace that you have another day. We talked about last week how we don't borrow from tomorrow's troubles. Don't worry about whether or not there'll be a tomorrow. Just rejoice in the day that God has given you right here, right now. You want to be an overcomer of depression and anxiety, fear? Know that the Lord can lift you up. Own the struggle. Claim the victory. But have positive thinking. The very last thing that I believe that we should do is we should take control of our minds. You see, when it comes to positive thinking or negative thinking, all those things are invoked and brought about by whether or not we control our minds. Truth. The mind is a powerful thing. The mind can generate up things. And I think about as a kid how I used to read and see the stories of Winnie the Pooh. Remember that? Remember those stories? Winnie the Pooh? Remember how Winnie the Pooh could think up things in his mind? You remember that about Winnie the Pooh? Remember that? All these creatures that he would think up into his mind, and how that he could see and hear things in the night, and he was just so for sure that it was that animal that was going to get him. We have the ability to do that very thing with our minds, and we do it sometimes. We create things up. We think of these falsehoods and these fantasies, and we think of things that could never possibly happen, and then we worry about them. Or we worry about very real things that can bring about depression in our lives, and we know that we struggle with all of those things, and it's a very difficult season, it's a very difficult moment, but we allow ourselves to dwell on those things. Why? Because we do not take control of our minds. The Lord has given us the ability to do that. Do you understand that? The Lord didn't give you a brain that you could not take control of. The Lord did not give you a brain that just runs wild. The Lord gives you the ability to be an overcomer and to take control. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, it's not about weapons of this world. The mind is a powerful weapon. And I read these verses last week, and I'll read them to you again. Why? Because most of you probably don't even remember I read these verses last week. I could probably preach the same verses or the same messages and just change it up a little bit, and you'd probably never know the difference. Shame on you. But if you think these verses are new, they're not. We read them last week. Paul said it this way. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Shout for joy in the Lord. I want to go ahead and read this one. Psalms chapter 33, verse 1. He says, "Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright." Paul says, your mind has the ability to build up strongholds, has the ability to help tear them down. Amen? Your mind can be your worst enemy. But your mind also has the ability to help you be an overcomer and to tear down strongholds. Know and understand that the weapons that you need are not weapons of this world, but weapons of spiritual warfare. Shout joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. The psalmist here is trying to say that praise really does befit a Christian. Amen? It does. Praise befits a Christian. I am a believer in my heart. The Lord doesn't want us to suffer through depression. The Lord doesn't want us to suffer through anxiety. The Lord doesn't want us to suffer through guilt and through shame and through constant fear. The Lord wants us to be able to praise Him. But I want you to know this. Those seasons are going to exist. You're never going to be done away with them completely. There's always going to be that season of testing and temptation and difficulty and trial and hardship. Remember that Paul said he would never lay anything on us, speaking of God, would never lay anything on us of which He did not provide a way to escape. But more importantly, he said in the very last part of that verse, a way to endure. I'm telling you that there are moments and seasons in your life where you're just going to have to endure. Persevere. Push through and overcome. Don't give up. If you're here today and you struggle with depression, I'm telling you that there are people who can share their story, their struggle, who are overcomers. And I encourage you to own your struggle. If you don't own your struggle, it's going to be so difficult for you to be able to find others who struggle and have the same struggles as you have. It's going to be impossible for you to claim a victory if you can't own your struggles. It's going to be impossible for you to invoke a positive thought if you won't own your struggles. How could you be in control of your mind if you cannot even own your struggles? But know and realize and understand today that God has the ability to lift you up out of that miry pit, change your life, to give you a new song, to give you hope, and most importantly, help you know that you are not alone. You're not alone on this side of earth, and you're not alone spiritually and emotionally. You come today. If the Lord is working on your heart, if you are struggling, this altar is open for you, but I would love to pray with you as well. I would love to share with you at some point in time my story and my struggle, and I know that there are others here that would love to do the same with you as well. You come. What better way to begin that journey than to begin it with a relationship with Christ Jesus? If you're suffering through depression and you want to be an overcomer, the first way that you can overcome is to overcome the bondages and the chains of sin in your life. Invite Christ Jesus into your heart. Trust in Him. He's faithful and just to forgive you, and you can and will be saved. You come this morning, I'd love to share with you about that. However the Lord is leading you, you respond as our praise and our worship team comes. As we move from this time of preaching now to a time of response, I'm going to ask if you would please bow your head. We're going to pray and we're going to close out this time, and we're going to prepare ourselves for this time of response. And again, I ask of you, if you are struggling, would you not come? If you know somebody who struggles, would you not come and pray for them? You come and you respond. However God is working on your heart this morning, maybe you're here and you've never known Christ, you come. Father, Lord, we thank You for the blessing of today. Lord, we thank You for this service. Lord, we thank You most of all for Your words. Lord, how that You assure us that You can bring us up out of that pit. How that You can give us a sure foundation. How that You can uplift our heart and our mind and give us a new song. Lord, I pray for those today who struggle with these strongholds that we've talked about. Lord, Father, I pray that they'll own up to their struggles. Lord, I pray that they will seek a victory in You. Lord, I pray that they'll invoke positive thinking. Lord, I pray that they'll take control of their minds. Lord, Father, and I pray that You'll give them the ability to do that. Lord, if there's somebody here who's never known You, Lord, would they not come this morning and be saved? Lord, if there's others who are here in struggle, Lord, I pray that they will respond. Lord, I pray that if there are those of us here that know of others who struggle, Lord, would we not come and pray for them? Father, it's all this we ask in Your holy and precious name. Amen.